All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya, Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Divyam Sarasvatim Vyasam, Kim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Mudirayet, Jayam Mudirayet. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu,
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, Bhakti Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki, Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. Chapter number 16, text number 42. Vacham vacha mano yachcha.
Vacham yacha mano yachcha.
Vacham yacha mano yachcha.
Vacham yacha mano yachcha.
Pranan yachchedriyani cha. Pranan yachchedriyani cha. Atmanam atmana yachcha.
Atmanam
atmana yachcha. Na bhuya kalpase dvane.
Na
bhuya kalpase dvane. Na bhuya kalpase dvane.
Na
bhuya kalpase dvane. Vacham yachcha mano yachcha.
Vacham yachcha mano yachcha.
Pranan yachchedriyani cha. Atmanam atmana yajcha.
Atmanam atmana yajcha.
Na bhuya kalpase dvane.
Na bhuya kalpase dvane.
Please chant. Maybe that would be good. Nam yajcha dijamita. Atmanam atmana yascha. Na bhuya kalpase dvane. Cham yachcha mayo yascha. Pranan yachcha jiyani cha. Atmanam atmana yascha. Bhuya kalpase dvane.
And then
is there a table?
They are looking for the table.
Anyone else? Vacham
yachcha.
Oh, sorry. Vacham. Speech. Yachcha. Control. Manaha. The mind. Yachcha. Control. Pranam. Your breathing. Yachcha. Control. Indriyani. The senses. Va. Sorry. Cha. Also. Atmanam. The intelligence. Atmana. By purified intelligence. Yachcha. Control. Na. Never. Bhuyaha. Again. Kalpase. You will fall. Advani. Advane. On the path of material existence. Therefore, control your speaking. Subdue the mind. Conquer the life air. Regulate the senses. And through purified intelligence, bring your rational faculties under control. In this way, you will never again fall onto the path of material existence. Please repeat. Therefore, control your speaking. Subdue the mind. Conquer the life air. Regulate the senses. And through purified intelligence, bring your rational faculties under control. In this way, you will never again fall onto the path of material existence. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. One should see all things as expansions of the Supreme Lord's potency, and thus with speech, mind, and words, one should offer respect to all things without minimizing any living entity or material object. Since everything belongs to the Lord, everything ultimately should be engaged in the Lord's service with great care. A self-realized devotee tolerates personal insult and does not become envious of any living entity, nor does he see anyone as his enemy. This is practical enlightenment. Although a pure devotee may criticize those who obstruct the Lord's mission, such criticism is never personally motivated, nor is it ever based on enviousness. An advanced devotee of the Lord may chastise his followers or criticize the demoniac, but only to carry out the mission of the Supreme Lord and never out of personal enmity or enviousness. For one who completely gives up the material conception of life, there is no possibility of entering again onto the path of birth and death.
Jnana timirandasya jnananjana salakaya chaksun milatam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam tadati sapadantikam Mukham karoti vachalam pangor lungayate girim yat kripastamaham vande shri gurundina taranam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swamin iti namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I will be leaving tomorrow after being here for a really nice long visit, and I really wanted to thank all of the devotees of Radha Gopinath Mandir. This temple, all of you really set the gold standard for hospitality in the world, and this temple and your hospitality is famous all over the world, and all over the world devotees are trying to learn from you. So I really have to thank all of you, really from the bottom of my heart. It was amazing at the flower festival. Gauravani was saying that this is really a festival of gratitude, not flowers. It's a festival, he said, it's a festival of humility and gratitude, of course. But he was saying that all the devotees who live here hardly get to attend the festival at all. Everyone is so busy decorating, making the beautiful curtains of flowers that were so beautiful and fragrant, the white flowers, and the amazing garlands, which I've never seen. Thank you to all the garland makers in there. I've never seen garlands like this anywhere in the whole world, so thank you to all of them. It's amazing that following the kindness of Radha Swami, all of you make such access for all these foreign people to come in and enjoy the festival so wildly while all of you are cooking and serving and in a million ways and not even able to attend. And thank you so much to Neil Krishna Prabhu and Achyutanand Prabhu and all the guest services department for being so kind and so extraordinarily hospitable. I don't even know how I would even try to imitate what you do, so thank you so much and look forward to coming back. So in this wonderful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see parallels to Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. We see parallels to Rupa Goswami's instructions in Nectar of Instruction. But this Uddhava Gita, these instructions to Uddhava in the 11th canto, are really so much more exhaustive than the 700 verses that Krishna gives to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. And I was thinking this verse is so much like the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegan yo vishaheta dira, sarvanapi mam prithivin sasisyat. So when one can come to the place of controlling vacha, the urge to speak, the mind, the anger, the pushings of the lower urges, the stomach, the genitals, then someone becomes actually qualified to accept disciples all over the world. This is Rupa Goswami's first instruction. So, yeah, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the senses are superior to dull matter, superior to the senses are the mind, superior to the mind is the intelligence, and then the self, which in this verse was the self was referred to as intelligence, as Atmanam. So closely aligned is the intelligence to the true Atma. So we need to, as the verse so beautifully said, control with the rational faculties and our breath. Our breath can also be used in chanting japa. Sometimes when your mind is wandering, you can also take a deep breath. And as yogis do, use the breath to help focus the mind. So these are beautiful instructions. And I was also thinking that the very important verse, there are many important points given by Srila Prabhupada or by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in this purport. So I was also thinking of how the verse says that if you do these things, if you control the mind with the rational faculties and bring them all into control, then the last sentence of the verse says, in this way you will never again fall onto the path of material existence. So it's very similar to the verse, you know, the famous verse that we all pretty much know in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that instructs us to approach a spiritual master. 434, which says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So that's a very important verse everyone should know, Sanskrit and English. But then the verse that follows that is also just as important because it actually explains to us what is that truth. Okay, so you, from the self-realized souls, we can learn the truth. Okay, so you might ask, what is the truth? So in the next verse, Krishna says, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never again fall into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine, Krishna says. So this is truth. This is knowledge, to understand that every living being, no matter what they look like, no matter what culture or community or color they are, they're all part of the Supreme and beloved to Krishna. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says so beautifully, he says, the sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya. Yeah, and then he goes on to explain more. So the sense of separate existence, this is Maya, when we see something or someone as separate from Krishna. I was reminded of the beautiful installation ceremony that just happened last week at the Govardhan Eco Village, where the deities of Madan Mohan, Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Lalita Sakhi were installed. And when the priests were doing the ceremony, there was a very interesting part of the ceremony where they were actually invoking all the demigods to come into the body of Madan Mohan. They were invoking all phases of time to come into Madan Mohan. All the planets, all the demigods, all the devatas, all the elements, all the modes of nature. And one after another, all of these, everything in existence was being invoked to enter into the body of Madan Mohan. And the priest was making such a beautiful point that by this process we have to understand that we only need to go to Krishna. We don't need to go to any other demigods. We don't need to go to any astrologer. We don't need to go anywhere except to Krishna to have that faith. This is called faith, that all the purposes of my existence will be served if I just take shelter of Krishna. It was a very beautiful thing to see. But in material consciousness, the material mind, we think someone is my enemy, someone is my friend. But we should understand only that materialistic mind, in fact, is my enemy. That no one is my enemy except within my own materialistic mind that brings me under the illusion that anything is separate from Krishna. And Prabhupada says that this is practical enlightenment, to understand, to not be envious, to understand that no one is my enemy. This is practical enlightenment, he says. So in the material world, we think we have so many enemies. The mother-in-law thinks the daughter-in-law is her enemy. The daughter-in-law thinks the mother-in-law is her enemy. Everyone, maybe if you're working for someone, you might think, my boss is so cruel, he's my enemy. Or maybe if you're so many people who cause anxieties or problems in your life, maybe they are my enemies. But in fact, the only enemy is within that materialistic mind who's trying to create this web of illusions within our hearts to think in this way, but in fact, nothing is actually separate from Krishna. In that beautiful video of Srila Prabhupada, it's very hard to watch, but that film that Yadubar and Vishakha Prabhu's made of Srila Prabhupada, in I think it's called The Final Lesson, where he says they're filming him and he's just lying on his bed and translating verses in the most amazing way, translating the final verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the final ones that he completed. So he says, everything is moving, acting under the supreme desire of Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So just imagine if we could just dwell always in that consciousness that everything is moving, even when something comes up against me in my life or some obstacle or some problem, that everything is moving under the supreme will of Krishna. And this is another test, how I can again take shelter of Krishna with my full heart and mind. And then in the purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada explain, as Srila Prabhupada in other places has explained, that sometimes a pure devotee might criticize those who try to obstruct the mission of the Lord, but that this criticism is never based on enviousness. How does he put it? It's never based on enviousness or it's never personally motivated. So if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, sometimes you'll find in his books, especially in the purports to Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read these little kind of digs that Prabhupada gives for people who are trying to obstruct the mission of the Lord. He gives these digs to his own personal god brothers, sometimes to ISKCON managers. Many instructions, if you're in a position of management, those are very good purports to read because Prabhupada is very instructive in those purports. So Srila Prabhupada had great attention to detail, as Radhana Swami also similarly said, that love means great attention to detail. So Prabhupada was very exacting about things and how things should be done. I remember once in Mayapur, he saw some cobweb or something up in the ceiling, and he's walking with his cane, and everyone's, all the big managers, sannyasis, are following behind him. And he chastised them. He points up to the cobweb and he said, "Oh, you can only look down, you cannot look up." You know, so exacting, so many instructions in such exacting ways. So, yeah, the pure devotee is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and he wants everything to be very super excellent for the service of the Lord. And a pure devotee is also, Prabhupada once said, is so absorbed in Krishna that he does not know if his coat is on or off. He's so absorbed in Krishna that he does not know if his coat is on or off. So there's another important instruction given in Nectar of Devotion where Rupa Goswami, in the 8th verse, he gives what he calls the essence of all advice. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smitokramena rasana manasi niyojya tistanvaje tad anuragi jananugami kalam nayat akilam iti upadesha saram. So some people call Nectar of Instruction 15 Minutes with a Genius. Such a short book, only a few short verses. 15 Minutes with a Genius. So what is the essence of all advice from that great genius, Srila Rupa Goswami? He says the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So yeah, in that context, there's an interesting story of when the residents of Vrindavan met the Yadavas in Kurukshetra. And they were all there, and Mother Yasoda was there, Nanda Maharaj was there, even the gopis, the cowherd men were all there. And Devaki came to Yasoda. Krishna was sitting with Yasoda, Mata, and they were just staring at each other with so much love. And Devaki, of course, these are all transcendental leela, so we shouldn't think in a materialistic way about any of them, but these lessons are there to teach us. So Devaki, in a kind of a, like in America they might say, a left-handed compliment, you know, this is kind of like a little dig. So Devaki said to Yashoda, "Thank you so much for raising my son, Krishna. Although he wasn't really your son, still you raised him with so much love." It kind of like a little dig. And Yasoda was so absorbed. And here's the lesson. Yasoda Mayi was so absorbed in Krishna and just staring at Krishna's beautiful face. And Krishna was so absorbed in staring at Yasoda's beautiful face. Neither one of them even heard that little dig. So I think it's very instructive. Imagine if we could be like that in our lives when someone says, "Gosh, you're really putting on weight, you're getting a little fat," or someone says, haven't really seen you in Mangal Arati, or you're chanting Japa in a very sloppy way," or all the millions of ways that we can get criticized in the world, you know, "You're looking quite shabby, blah, blah, blah." So much gramya kata, so much, so many little digs come to us in our lives, in our office. If you're an attorney in the courtroom, certainly. If you're a doctor, there can be malpractice accusations. So many problems in this material world. Your children can be disrespectful. Your wife or husband can be unkind sometimes. Sometimes, especially in intimate situations, we can tend to be unkind to each other. But just imagine if we were so absorbed in Krishna that we wouldn't even hear. We wouldn't even perceive these little digs that come at us in the material world. And this is the advice of Rupa Goswami, to be so absorbed, the essence of all instruction. So I was thinking that sometimes we hear about nonviolent communications. You've heard the term? Nonviolent communications. And when a relationship is fragile, when you're preaching to someone brand new at the temple, or on the street, or maybe with children, or maybe, yeah, when the relationship is not so thick, a nonviolent communication is very important. It's an important principle. But sometimes we see that when the relationship becomes very thick in love, sometimes we may perceive that the relationship is, the communication can even be a little bit violent, right? We see so many stories of chastisements by Srila Prabhupada. Even in the last days, Srila Prabhupada, his godbrothers all came to his room in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was apologizing to them that, "I have spoken a little strongly. I have been critical of all of you. Please forgive me." And they were all saying, "No, no, you haven't committed any offense. This is all in the spirit of preaching the holy name. You've been the greatest preacher taking the holy name all over the world." But Srila Prabhupada was really strong. And sometimes to his disciples, there's so many stories. Did you ever hear the story about when he was, Harikesh was his personal secretary, and Prabhupada really had a vision that he could be doing more. He could be preaching and doing tremendous work in another sphere. And Prabhupada was in a demeaning way calling him, "My oil smearing servant." And Harikesh, he was trying to send Harikesh to Russia and to Eastern Europe. And Harikesh was saying, "But Prabhupada, what will I eat there?" And Prabhupada said, "Eat meat." Prabhupada said, not to be taken literally, of course. But Prabhupada said, "Eat meat, you go there." And it was shocking, you know, how extreme the communication was, right? So this is when the love is very, very thick. Do any of you have an example of a story like that? Have you ever been chastised by Radha Swami? Any of you want to volunteer a story? Have any of you ever been chastised? I know Gauranga Prabhu, I don't know that he's here, but he gets it a lot because the relationship is so thick. He gets it a lot. I heard a story from Govardhanika village the other day that some Maharaj Radha Swami saw some light that was on, some very glaring, disturbing light that was on, that he likes everything to be so nicely done, but there was some kind of terrible glaring light. And he was saying, who put this light here? This is terrible. And then he picked up a rock and he said, if you don't get this light out of here within 30 seconds, I'm going to smash it. And all the brahmacharis went running to get that light out of there. And so this is love. This is when the love is very thick, but sometimes, of course, we have to be very gentle when the relationship is not so thick. There's another story of Srila Prabhupada in Philadelphia. There was a scholar who came, and he was an Indian man, and he was actually from a Vaishnava family, but he was teaching Hinduism in a university there. And he was very modernistic in his approach and kind of a fallen guy. And so he came to see Srila Prabhupada. And so they told Srila Prabhupada that this was a professor of Hinduism. And he says, Prabhupada said, so what is Hinduism? And he said, I do not know. No one knows. Something like that. I do not know. And Prabhupada turned to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who was sitting next to him, and he says, he is teaching, but he does not know. What does this mean? And Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj said, it means cheater, Srila Prabhupada. It means he is a cheater. So heavy, you know, right in front of this big scholar. And Prabhupada said, yes, he is a cheater. So, like, so heavy. And what happened was, the whole community, especially the Indian congregation and community, became very disturbed that Srila Prabhupada has spoken so harshly to this respected scholar. Why is he doing this? Why is Srila Prabhupada so harsh? And it created a big stir in the community for quite a while. Everyone was sort of gossiping about why Srila Prabhupada was so harsh. But then what happened, I heard this story from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who was the temple president at that time. He's also a great scholar. And he said after some years, he again met that scholar. And that scholar said to him, he said, Prabhupada was right. I was a cheater. And Prabhupada brought me back to understanding correctly that who is Krishna? And what I need to understand to be authentic. So it's amazing that Prabhupada had that long-term vision, how to bring this person who was really posing as a scholar, how to bring him to the point of actual scholarship, of understanding who is Krishna and what is my relationship with Krishna. So that's a wonderful story. Any volunteers to tell an incident of when you got chastised? Or what about when someone else got chastised? What about from Shastra? Any examples of someone getting chastised by this thick relationship in scripture? In Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or anything? Any of you think of anything? What about Advaita Acharya? He was senior to Lord Chaitanya, right? So Lord Chaitanya was always so respectful to him, actually by his calls. Lord Chaitanya descended by the very calls of Advaita Acharya. We need to learn how to call out to Krishna's holy name from Advaita Acharya. So Lord Chaitanya was always very respectful to him. So Advaita Acharya was a little transcendentally envious of the devotees, the other devotees who would get chastised by Lord Chaitanya. So he made a plot and he started preaching Mayavadi impersonalist philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya became so angry that he just took up a stick and started to chastise Advaita, and Advaita was dancing in ecstasy. Finally, my wish is fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya is chastising me. So such beautiful stories. These are wonderful stories. What about when Krishna was having his dialogue with Rukmini? He was so intense with Rukmini, telling her, you know, you should really find another husband. I'm not really qualified. Nobody really knows where I come from. I'm just a cowherd boy. I'm not really an authentic king. You know, so intense. And Rukmini, she was so beside herself that she eventually just fell over and fainted like a banana tree, right? But the love was so thick that he could speak to her like that. And then she came back in so many ways and defeated his words with transcendental knowledge. What about Radharani and Uddhava, right? Radharani was speaking to Uddhava in Vrindavan in such a harsh way. You know, you are an unreliable servant of an unreliable master. How dare you come and speak to me like this? Has this brought up anything for you? Do you think of anything? An example of this thick love where the communication is not so nonviolent. Yes.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jagdanand Pandit was chastised by the Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he advised Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan.
Right.
So, Lord says, you are fit to be guru of whole world, fit to be my guru. How can Jagdanand Pandit, how can Jaga advise you?
This upstart, how dare he, right? And of course, their relationship was so thick. He bought some expensive oil to offer to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a materialistic person. I'm a sannyasi. How can I accept this oil? Jagannanda smashed it on the ground. I mean, imagine the cost of pure sandalwood oil at that time. He smashed it on the ground. You know, so the relationship is so thick. Yeah. One other thing I just remembered that I wanted to say about the brahmacharis, Achyutanand Prabhu has been continuously giving son papri to my grandson Kirtan, continuously giving him boxes of son papri. And then yesterday when they were leaving, he said, you know, we brahmacharis, we don't eat son papri. He said, we only give it. So how beautiful is that? You know, so much gratitude that... Yeah, so this thick relationship. So what about Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj? He was chastising Tamal Krishna Maharaj for so many things. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, out of complete frustration, said to Prabhupada, well, I just might as well go to China. And Prabhupada said, Krishna made you say that. You go to China. And then he had to go to China, which opened up a whole other realm of preaching. So... amazing, amazing, thick relationships. Anything else from the Bhagavatam, from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Anything occur to any of you? Yes.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Shivananda Sen is taking all the devotees to Jagannath Puri, and Lord Nityananda is also there, so he is held up at some toll collector, and the other party, they move ahead, and then there is no arrangement for accommodation, and Prasad and Lord Nityananda becomes very angry, and as soon as Shivananda Sen comes back, so he kicks him.
Wow. What if the guest services department at Radha Gopinath Mandir had Lord Nityananda come? Oh my goodness. It would be amazing. Such a wonderful story. Yeah, thank you so much. What about Bali Maharaj and Vamandev? You know, his whole family is angry. You know, why are you insulting our brother, our father? This is unheard of. But the love was so thick that Bali Maharaj could handle that kind of love. He could handle that kind of intense, thick love. Yeah. So many examples. So this chastisement, what's the purpose of chastisement? What do you say? I'm thinking of three things. What's the purpose of chastisement? Why can't it just be spoken nicely in a nonviolent way? Once I heard Radha Swami being asked by one devotee who was a personal servant to a guru, and she was saying, my guru is really kind of violent in his communications with me, and it's really tough, and I'm suffering a lot. And Radha Swami gave us such a beautiful explanation of this very point, of how sometimes when the love is very thick, the guru might not be so nonviolent. So what's the purpose of chastisement? Anybody have an idea? Why? Why chastisements? To correct, of course. Anybody else? Yes? To teach others, yes? What else? To teach that person and to teach others, yes? Beautiful. Beautiful. The teacher's overstepping the formal etiquette and going beyond to chastise. What about the beautiful story of Bhakti Charu Maharaj when he was serving Prabhupada and Prabhupada wanted orange juice, but there were no oranges. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj, you know, he had to go to the bazaar to get the oranges. He had to come back and squeeze them. And finally he comes back with the orange juice and Prabhupada, the love was so thick that Prabhupada said, I don't even want your orange juice. Get it out of here. And he was rejecting it. Don't give me that orange juice. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj, again, the example is so sublime. He just basically, by his love, he forced Prabhupada to accept the orange juice. He was like, you know, putting the orange juice there. No! Get it out of here! I don't want your orange juice! And he's just so lovingly putting it there, putting it there, putting it there, until finally Srila Prabhupada drank the orange juice. There's another story about a devotee named Kartikeya. He was a very sweet devotee, and he was serving Prabhupada as his personal servant at one time in Los Angeles, and he thought, wouldn't it be yummy to make halva out of wheat germ? Do you have wheat germ in India? It's the germ of the wheat. It's very healthy. But so he decided, I will make some halva out of wheat germ for Prabhupada. And so he made this halva. He thought it was going to be really delicious. And Prabhupada, he brought it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just completely rejected it. What is this you've concocted? This is not halva. Get it out of here. And it's very, very angry, really. And so this beautiful Kartikeya, he went in front of a picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada's guru, and he was praying to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he was saying, please, Param Guru Maharaj, I just want to please your beloved disciple Srila Prabhupada, and I just wanted to offer this nice wheat germ halva for him, and I just wanted to please him. Please, please ask him to accept it. And then all of a sudden he hears the bell. Srila Prabhupada's calling him. And Prabhupada called him back and said, what is that halva that you brought, that you made? And Srila Prabhupada tasted it and said, this is very nice, very nice. So these stories are so beautiful. There's one more story I wanted to share with you. Also a devotee who became a sannyasi, he was serving Prabhupada as his personal servant. His name was Nanda Kumar. And I was taking care of the deities in New York at this time. And Prabhupada's rooms were right next to the Pujari room. And Nanda Kumar Prabhu came into the Pujari room and he was in shock. And he said, Prabhupada just said the most amazing thing to me. I said, what, what? And so he said, Prabhupada just told him, you are much too creative to be a good servant. You should go do business. And I was thinking, whoa, business. I didn't think business was creative. But now I understand, after myself doing business for 25 years, I understand how business is very creative. But Prabhupada was saying he was making too many things up. He wasn't just following the instructions. Like the servant is supposed to bring milk. It's supposed to be hot. Not so hot that it's impossible, but possible. You know, all those instructions. So he found that Nanda Kumar Prabhu was too creative. He had too much imagination to be a good servant. So he said, you should go do business. Isn't that interesting? So yeah, so sometimes the spiritual master might chastise to bring down someone's pride. So many stories about that. Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, so many stories to bring down pride. Sometimes a servant is concocting ideas. Sometimes to bring down these imaginary concoctions that the servant is servant. The spiritual master asks for water, the servant brings milk. Those kinds of things, when this person is being served in a way they don't want to be served. And also the third example that comes to mind is like the example of Harikesh Prabhu, when the spiritual master has another idea of service in mind for this disciple. I remember one devotee in America. He was fluent in Russian, and he wanted to go to Russia to preach. But he was one of the BBT artists. He was a very talented painter. And he said, Prabhupada, I want to go to Russia to preach. And Prabhupada was so disinterested. Prabhupada was always, preach, 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 right? But this devotee, Prabhupada's totally disinterested. And he said, the work you are doing is preaching, the painting. He said, preaching means to glorify Krishna. So that's what you are doing. You are preaching. So he was, even though he was fluent in Russian language, he was refusing because Prabhupada had some other idea of how he could serve. Right? So, I want to leave some time for questions. There's so many stories. Let me just tell one other one that's so cute that I heard this on. Sometimes if you listen to these morning walk conversations or room conversations, there's so many sweet exchanges with Prabhupada. So I was listening to this conversation. They're coming back from the walk in Vrindavan, and Akshayananda Maharaj, who is the temple president in Vrindavan, is telling Prabhupada, we finally found a really good night guard, Prabhupada. He's going to make sure that the bell rings on time. He's really, really good, Prabhupada. We found him. Finally, we found the right person. And they're walking up to the mandir, and he's glorifying this person they found, and they come up, and then you hear a minute of silence, and Srila Prabhupada goes, another village idiot. Another village idiot, Prabhupada says. Amazing. And then I just want to give one more example. This one's also really good. So this is another story that took place in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was very, very upset because of some incompetent management. And he gathered all the managers in his room. And he asked them, what is the solution? He's asking all of them, what is the solution? And one of the managers said, well, Srila Prabhupada, I think if we all became Krishna conscious, that would solve the problems. And Prabhupada said, another impractical idea. So funny. So just like Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj, it requires Krishna consciousness, of course. But also Prabhupada said, organization and intelligence, right? So, just to recap in conclusion, we talked a little bit about not seeing anything separate from Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna, so when these little pokes and these little jabs come to us in the material world, we'll be so absorbed in Krishna that we won't even notice. We talked about the story of Devaki and Yasoda and Krishna in Kurukshetra. We talked about Srila Prabhupada's chastisements in the Bhagavatam. We talked about nonviolent communication and sometimes how when the love is thick, the communication may appear to even be a little bit so-called violent, right? So many thoughts. And thank you so much. Do you have any comments or questions or reflections? We have 3 minutes if the clock is right. Yes, from guest services.
Thank you very much for your kind association. Very inspiring class. Okay. I was thinking if chastisement comes not through any thick relationship, then what should be our mood when we receive chastisement?
I don't think I understand the question. If you receive chastisement from who?
Other than, someone...
In authority.
With whom we have good relationship. Other than that.
Someone who maybe you don't have such a good relationship with. That's a great question. Thank you very much. Well, if we're in a situation of thick love with Krishna, then we can really come to the place of understanding that everything is coming from Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada was told by an ordinary librarian once, don't print magazines, print books. People throw magazines away, but books they will keep. So Prabhupada took that instruction very seriously. It wasn't a chastisement. But even the chastisement, sometimes, if we're in that thick relationship with Krishna, we can take even chastisements that come from other places to be coming from Krishna. That's a very high degree of humility. I think it's a very important step to come to when even a man on the street, you know, what about the story of Radha Swami? He was sitting in the Delhi airport and the quite proud environmental minister of the Indian government, Menaka Gandhi, she wanted to speak to him and she said to him, really she was a stranger, right? And she said to him, she asked permission to come and speak with him. He said, of course. And she said, what are you useless swamis doing for the environment? All you do is pray all day. What are you really doing for the environment? So, wow, that's a really kind of a slap in the face. So Radha Swami, because of his high consciousness, and he sees everything is coming from Krishna, he explained to her in a very profound way, which I'll tell afterwards, but then that was an inspiration to create Govardhan Eco Village. So look how seriously he took that chastisement coming from a stranger. And then the way he answered her in the moment was also very profound. He said, if we don't clean up the internal ecology of our hearts, then no matter how many mountains, how many rivers, how many oceans we clean, it will all just go right back to where it was, because our hearts are filled with greed and lust and overaccumulation. And no matter what we do, it will just go back to the state where it was if we don't clean the internal environment of the heart, which is such a profound instruction. But then he didn't just stop there. Then he went on to create Govardhan Eco Village. So this is high consciousness. It's not, sometimes we can't imitate it. Sometimes it really hurts our hearts. You know, you go out to distribute books and someone says, you useless bum, why don't you get a job? You're so useless, you have to be a brahmachari living in an ashram because you couldn't get a job anywhere. Yeah, well, wow, that really hurts. But to take it in such a humble way and thank you, sir, I will accept your instruction and try to become more humble. But would you just consider for one moment taking a look at one of these beautiful Srimad Bhagavatams given by Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna? Any other thoughts or questions? Reflections or questions? That was such a good question. Thank you. So the time is up. Thank you all so very much. Hare Krishna.